This is the Montreal Bias Christmas Eve edition. Merry Christmas, Sean.
Oh, Merry Christmas, buddy.
God bless us, everyone. I guess we should have saved that till the end. But
yeah.
Damn it. All right, we'll start again. This is, no, Christmas Eve edition of the podcast. You're in the townships, right? Getting a holiday ready?
Yeah, buddy, back home.
How is it?
Same as always.
Sounds about accurate. What's the weather in the Canton de l'Est this time?
Christmassy.
Yeah. Actually snow?
Yeah, snow globy.
We've even got snow in Toronto.
Oh, that's a first.
It's going to be a white Christmas, as Donald Trump demanded. welcome to the show. Zach with you here, Sean with you as well. This is, as I said off the top, the Montreal Bias, a podcast production of RabbitHabs.com. And we're just going to get into it. I know we were talking a bit on Twitter about doing our media, Habs media draft, but this is we'll save that for a day when there's not so much to talk about. I feel like we got a bit of content. It's been a little while, week plus since we did a show. So we'll talk about other stuff and wait until...
Yeah, since we did a show. You've been sneaking out on me.
Yeah, I did a little Star Wars program without you, with Kyle. I hope you're okay with that.
That's probably wise. I'm not sure how much I would have contributed to that discussion.
You're not big on space monsters.
Not especially, no.
You're not anti-Star Wars. You're just, it's not your thing.
It's fine. It's just, yeah, it's more power to those of you who out there who like it, but it doesn't really do it for me.
That's fair. I'll allow that. Some people aggressively hate on Star Wars, and I'm not like a, Taryn is a much bigger Star Wars fan than I. I enjoy it. I'll go see the movies when they come out. I'm not like, I don't dig in on it. I could take or leave several of them.
Yeah, fair.
This one's a good one, though. I will say that. You can go watch Rogue One. I think
that's
what
everyone says.
Yeah, exactly. It's a war movie. You'll like it, I think.
I do like war. It's true.
You do love war. All right. Let's get into it. We got a lot of bits, a lot of Christmas bits to shake at you this week. First bit, we started starting our show with who's ripping us off this week. And I got to throw this one in reverse this week, Sean. This is a who we need to be ripping off.
Yeah.
So I talked about this when Kyle was on, my favorite co-host to ever do the Montreal Bias. Just mentioned it. Skip Bayless this week, or last week, I guess, at this point, was caught commenting on a Facebook Live video that they had posted for whatever the hell his show is called at this point.
Undisputed.
Is that the name of it? God, that's a
I mean, I see the commercial 73 times every Sunday. So
I think I just blank out. I don't hear it as soon as Skip's talking. But anyway, he didn't sign out of his Facebook account posting it.
Yeah.
Before switching to what is obviously one of probably several fake Facebook accounts that Skip has, and commented below the video, "Love your takes, Skip. Never miss it. You the man. Yada yada yada." Instead, it was Skip. This is what I heard.
Ooh, I missed that. That's hilarious.
Even if it didn't happen, let's just assume.
Good idea. I'm doing it one way or the other.
Exactly. So we're going to get a lot of Twitter accounts going on, a lot of iTunes accounts leaving very positive reviews. We've been depending on the people, the listeners out there for a long time to help us out. They haven't done shit for us. I'm sorry, but you haven't. I hate to say it. I'm going to air the grievances. You haven't done shit for us. We're going to have to run with the Skip Bayless model now, which apparently gets you multi-million dollar contracts. We're going to start positive commenting ourselves.
Absolutely.
There's a good chance I end up drinking a little too much nog, though, and start trashing the podcast in hidden posts as well.
What do you mix your nog with?
I'm a brandy guy.
Fair.
I prefer brandy. What do you?
Yeah, whiskey.
Whiskey. A lot of people do rum.
Rum's the one thing I've never enjoyed. So
no, it's rum's already very sweet. I don't need to be adding that to the nog.
You're not wrong.
I know, I'm very right. A lot of people like sweet, but I don't love sweet. Like I got a big glass of bourbon right now. I know it's not very holiday, but it's
delicious.
That's all
right. I got a Quebec beer.
What you got?
It's from Retrou du Diable from Shawinigan.
Ooh, the Devil's Hole.
The Devil's Hole.
Love it.
La Saison du Tacteur.
Ooh.
Not too shabby.
It's all right. A dark beer?
No, more of a ale.
Interesting. Feel free to sponsor us, Devil's Hole. We would love to be sponsored by a Devil's Hole. Speaking of sponsors, Wrangler jeans. Real. Comfortable. jeans. We made contact, but nothing has come through since. But still,
little nibble.
Little nibble. We feel there may be maybe Santa, old denim Santa, in his all Canadian tuxedo plus a sweet denim hat, will slide down the chimney in this comfortable Wranglers. Not that I have a chimney. I have a chimney. It doesn't go anywhere, actually. And drop off some free denim tomorrow morning. Fingers crossed on that one.
I think that's a new ad campaign for Wrangler. Free of charge.
Everything we give them is free of charge.
True. So far.
So far. Denim Santa. Feel free to use that one, guys. So there, we got that. We got the ad out of the way. We got who's ripping us off, except who we're going to rip off. And that takes us to what everyone came here for. Once again, 76v6, our weekly commentary on who won the Subban for Weber trade. I did my best digging this week, Sean. I don't have a lot to be bringing to the table for Olshay Weber this week.
I don't have a lot to be bringing to the table. I mean, PK's hurt, right?
So PK's hurt, which hurts him.
Which, yeah, it does. PK's hurt, and Weber's kind of going through a bit of a lull right now.
I think I've said this on the recency bias, my morning after podcast I do. It's about a 10-minute cast, in case you somehow are subscribed to this but have managed to miss that. Feel free to listen to that 10 minutes or so after most games. I was saying on that, I think Shea's hurt. Where he's not winding up. Maybe he's not getting space, but I think he may have an upper body injury.
Well, that would, it's sort of even Stevens' trade so far. That would balance things out. True. I mean, Weber has the grit to play through it, where prima donna PK just, you know,
what?
On the bench, but.
He was too busy planning his big, I'm going to visit the Nashville Children's Hospital and take them on a sleigh ride, which happened, I believe, today. And so because of that, I think I have to give the edge to Subban this week.
Fair enough, although it's almost a three-way discussion. Do we need to add Jeff Petrie to this talk?
Well, I mean, I don't know how he helps determine who won the trade. But if we're going for best defenseman in the entire NHL, sure, we'll talk about poetry.
He's been playing well, eh?
He's been very well. He's on fire. He's been really... You know what, though? Maybe this is a theory. I have no research to prove this, which is what, you know, podcast and covering hockey used to be. God damn it. Now we have to prove everything with numbers. Thanks, analytics people. But I'm wondering if... Because maybe Shea Weber, that's what I call him. Jeez, maybe I've had more bourbon than I thought. Maybe Shea Weber isn't getting space, and Petrie's finding that space, and that's where we've seen that shift recently. Or maybe Jeff's just feeling it right now.
I mean, yeah, he's a damn good defenseman, and it's still kind of crazy that we got him for nothing, really.
Yeah.
A draft pick?
I don't know, something that Edmonton didn't do much with, I'll tell you that. I think it was a low draft pick, too. Maybe a second rounder, at best.
Like, they had defensemen to give away? I'll never understand that trade.
Well, he's better than Larson. Like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, debatable. Talk amongst yourselves with that one.
Sure.
That's for if you're at a family Christmas thing tomorrow and you need a little conversation, Larson or Petrie. That one's for you guys. Do what you will.
But still, in any case, the Oilers aren't in a position to be giving away D-men.
No, absolutely not. That should be our podcast from now on. We just come up with topics for people to use, but we never really offer anything for it.
It's not bad. We're conversation starters.
That's all we are, the conversation starters. Here's what Subban does lead right now, though, is all-star voting in his division, in the Central Division. So he may be the captain of the Central Division. Shea Weber.
A division that, not for nothing, has Kane and... Taves and Sege and Hossa and Tarasenko and others.
Ooh. Random question here. New bit called random question here. is Tarasenko the best player in that division now?
No.
Okay. No. Well, that ruined that conversation. Shut that down.
I mean, he's a hell of a player. I'd still rather have Kane or Sege, wouldn't you?
Kane, yes, despite the fact that he's a garbage human being, but we're talking hockey here. I think Tarasenko's better than Sege.
Than Sege? Ooh, yeah. I don't know about that.
All right. I don't know about that either. Haven't even really looked much into it. I'm going by feel on this one. Tarasenko's electric.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, every year I talk myself into the Blues, and every year they get knocked out in the second round. And it's not like he's just arrived on the scene. He's been pretty great for a couple seasons now, but he does seem like that piece that they were missing, right? Like, they were kind of a really low, you know, grinded out team. A lot of big, heavy forwards, great on defense, decent goaltending. They never had that 35, 40 goal scorer guy who could just break your will with a 3-goal game, and they seem to have it now.
Yeah, and he's going to be that guy for years, I think. He reminds me, I don't know how accurate this is, but he reminds me of like Marian Hossa, who we never quite fully recognize just how lethal they are when it comes to scoring.
Offensively, yeah. I don't think he's as good defensively as Hossa is, but no, yeah.
He's young. He can figure that out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Now, Hossa's a great two-way player. I mean, one of the truly great, so he probably won't get there. But yeah, I'm just thinking offensively. These guys who are always much better than we almost... Like, Tarasenko gets forgotten in a lot of conversations.
Yeah, he does.
Not in this one, though.
No, it'd be weird if he was.
That's why we're fantastic podcasters.
Speaking of Hossa, he kind of found the fountain of youth again this season, eh?
Probably steroids. That's my new assumption.
I didn't write him off, but I thought he was in the sort of severe decline phase of his career. Absolutely. But he's fantastic.
No, he's having a huge season. He might even be their best forward this season.
Yep, I think that'd be fair.
Next bit, should we be concerned about this? Brendan Gallagher, it's time to have the talk.
It's a down year, I mean, that's for sure.
Good analysis. Next bit.
I mean, he's too young for it to be anything more than that, though, right?
Yeah, that's exact. It's either an injury, which I'm starting to not think it is at all, and just snake bitten. I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out with him.
Yeah, because it really, like, there's not much. He's too young. He can't be. It's pretty damn rare that people start declining at age 25 or whatever he is.
Yeah, I can speak from experience, though. No, I think he's way too... It's not a decline. Something's up. I was asking this on the recency bias this morning, just throwing it out there, and don't know if you have any thoughts on it. To my eye, and this is purely eye test, it doesn't seem like he's spending as much time in the blue paint as he used to. And I'm wondering if it's... maybe it's injury, maybe it's a different style of play, maybe he was getting too many goals called back. I'm not... With their willingness to, like, give you goalie interference if you touch the guy these days... I feel like he's not there the same way he has been in the past.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, I just looked it up. He's 24, so unless he had the shortest prime of any 30-goal scorer ever. But yeah, there has been a little bit of reluctance to go into those areas. I mean, that's where he's made his living since the moment he came into the league, is sort of finding those creases and crashing the net, despite the fact that he's, whatever he is, 5'8 or something. He's always been a guy who goes into the dirty areas and scores some goals that way. And he hasn't done that. I think, you know, maybe it's not an injury per se, but he could just be a bit beat up.
Could be it. That seems possible.
I mean, the way he plays and the amount of abuse that he's taken. Yeah, just, you know, maybe it's not a really horrible injury that he's hiding, but if you're just a bit beat up and you're a little tentative to go into those areas, for a guy like that, that's going to cut down on your goals a lot.
I mean, that's technically his whole game.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, we have, I mean, what is he, got 2 goals on the season? That's really bad. Thank God we got Paul Byron.
What a pickup. Holy boats.
That's turned out real nice. Holy boats, huh?
Holy boats.
All right. That's a new bit called Sean Says Holy Boats. Don't know what that is, but I liked it. So, yeah, the bit being called, should we be concerned about this? Are you at all concerned?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because when you're before the season starts, when you're sort of plotting out how the Habs compete for a Stanley Cup, a big part of that equation is Brendan Gallagher scoring 25 goals. Because up until this point, you could just pencil him in for that automatically without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem, you know, maybe he turns it on in the second half, but obviously it hasn't happened in the first half. And if it doesn't, for a team that already lacks sort of secondary scoring, that's a pretty big hole right there. So in the context of the way the team is built and what they want to accomplish this season, I think it is a cause for concern. Am I worried that Gallagher's done and that we've seen his best days? No. But this team can't be really firing on all cylinders if Brendan Gallagher is only going to pot 11 goals this season.
I wouldn't be shocked if we hit the playoffs and suddenly he's back to himself. Maybe wisdom has come to him. I mean, I'm going to backtrack in a second. There's a chance that he's realized I can't play that way all season, save it for the playoffs. But then again, when you find yourself in a goal-scoring slump the way he is, you would expect him to go, okay, well, I have to push a little more in the regular season. So I don't really think it's that. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm grasping at things to try and explain it.
I'm trying to, while we're talking, I'm trying to find his shooting percentage. Like, I don't think it's abnormally low. Oftentimes, it's just one of those things where you're not getting the breaks and you're not finding the back of the net. And all it takes is a week where you score, you know, five goals in five games and you're kind of back on track. Mm-hmm. But I'll have to double check it. But it doesn't seem like it's one of those things where he's only shooting 4% or whatever.
And Berkshire had a bit up on RDS.ca last week, I think, showing that he was, it seems at least, that he's getting his shots from the same spots he generally does. So if it's not a worse scoring percentage or shooting percentage, and he's getting his shots from the same spot, that's where I remain highly mystified as to what the issue is here.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm just going, my eye tells me that even if he's getting his shots from those spots he always did, he's not hanging around as long. He's not doing the things he needs to do to disrupt. Or maybe this is the narrative informing what I'm seeing out there. Maybe this is the way Gallagher's always played, and I'm just paying more attention to him now because it's not working out for him. Not a lot of answers here, just questions.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. It's mystifying because he's really been hyper reliable since the moment he got into the league.
And his game shouldn't be that prone to falling into a funk. Like, he's not a sniper.
No, he's not at all. He's shooting 5.7% on the season. So,
oh, that's low.
That's low, but it's not.
I don't know what his career shooting is. That's kind of low.
It's kind of low. It's not insane. You know, it's not insane. But still, if you bump that 5.7 up to 8 in the second half of the season, you know, he'll probably be back to where he kind of normally is.
I guess in the...
He shot 11% last year, so...
Yeah. He shot 11%?
Yeah.
Fuck. That's high.
So, yeah.
All right. But he also, I mean, he had a great season last season. I think, to me, he's a 20 to 25 goal guy. He'd be shocking if he gets there this season now. But if he can get himself to 15, that'd be okay. On a year where he went the first half with, like, 2 or 3 goals, so...
Yeah, I mean, he'd really have to turn on the Jets in the second half to hit his sort of, you know, career mean.
I mean, credit to the Canadians. We're talking secondary scoring. I think it's even fair to call it primary scoring previous to this season was completely reliant on Max Pacioretty, Brendan Gallagher, and Thomas Mikanich for the most part. Alex Galchenyuk joining that last year. They're not getting shit from Plex or Gallagher and are still sustaining quite well.
Yeah. Just I'm looking at his shooting percentages by year. 12.8.
Okay.
9.4, 9.0, 11, and then 5.7 this year. So maybe that's what it is.
Oh, I mean, when you're getting half of what you've gotten for your career, yeah, that'll do it.
And usually those, again, sometimes it's a stylistic thing. Maybe if he's not going into the paint and he's not hanging around there as often as he normally does, like if he's changed his game, it's not an automatic that his shooting percentage is gonna rebound. But usually those things tend to balance out. So, you know, we might see a bit of a resurgence in the new year.
If you had to put money on it, whether he bounces back or not, which do you fall into?
I'd say yes.
Me too. So,
again, he's 24.
About this? No. We're going to go with, so far, no. Don't get concerned. Don't lose sleep over it. All right, and time now on this Christmas Eve, of course. Always like to, you know, a lot of people go to church on Christmas Eve, have the midnight mass. We're going to do something of our own here, a little confession that we've started doing. So once again, I'm going to climb into the vestibule, Sean, and ask, forgive me for I have sinned.
Good use of the word vestibule.
Thanks, bud.
All is forgiven.
Well, that's not how, once again, it's not how it works. I have to confess to you first.
Right.
Fuck. Every time. here's my confession, and it's a dark one.
Oh.
Tell me if we should be worried about this. I live in Toronto, as people realize. And this season, I don't like them, but I've enjoyed watching the Toronto Maple Leafs play.
I don't know if I can absolve you of that one.
I know. But hear me out, Father.
You're already a Jays fan.
Yep.
You're already a Raptors fan.
Love TFC. That's my jam.
Diehard TFC fan.
Diehard TFC.
Diehard Argos fan.
Oh, yeah. That's even bigger than TFC, actually. No, hear me out.
I mean, you're pretty much Toronto all across the board, except for the Habs, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. I put the Owls, sincerely put the Owls up against the Argos, and I'll cheer for the Owls. Not that I'll care all that much. And the same could be said for, if Montreal has a team, I'm going to cheer for them over the Toronto team.
Yeah, fair enough. For now, I don't know.
Wait, you think the Expos come back and there's some chance I'm a Jays fan?
I don't know. You're just singing the praises of the Maple Leafs.
Here, can you
planning
hear me
the parade
out? Once again, this is how a real confession would go for me. Where I'm going to argue my case strongly here. Now, wait a second, Father. Got some reasoning here. I'm enjoying watching the Leafs because they play exciting hockey. It's fast. It's mistake filled, and they usually lose on top of it all. So yeah. I get to watch something that's fun, and the Leafs don't win anyway.
Yeah, and I think that last part is key. And, I mean, Matthews is, what, 10 goals in his last 14 or something?
Yeah, he's at four. He's like 14 now in the season. He's suddenly looking like I was worried he might.
Yeah. The last part's key, though. They still suck, which is fun.
Oh, no, if they were burying it like Dallas did last year or something, I wouldn't find that very fun at all.
Because I think we've all started to feel just a little bit of borderline sympathy for Leafs fans for everything they've gone through in the last decade.
Let's use the word pity.
Pity's a much better word. We've forgotten how incredibly insufferable their fans are when they're even just borderline competitive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're starting to get a little annoying right now, and they're still a last place team. They're getting there.
I mean, you talk to any Leafs fan, and you'd think that those Shane Corson, Darcy Tucker, Thomas Caberle, 02, 03 Leafs were, you know, put them up against the 84 Oilers and the 76 Habs.
Yeah, they were annoying as hell.
So you're forgiven for now, because I think there'll be a severe course correction in 2 or 3 years once their fans start puffing their chest out a bit too much.
Oh, they'll find a way to suck again. Don't worry. I mean, look, what they're building is a little scary because it's solid. On the other hand, there was a few years ago we had bunch of young talent named, you know, Carey Price, Max Pacioretty, PK Subban. We seem to be building towards something. Haven't quite won the Stanley Cup yet. You can have talent, yeah. And it's you still need something else to take you over the top.
Yeah, to say nothing of Edmonton.
On the other hand, they got Mike Babcock. Maybe that's a secret.
It doesn't hurt.
I don't think it does, actually.
Well, a lot of smart guys in that room.
Unfortunately. So for all the facts that I'm enjoying watching there, because they remind me a lot of like watching Team North America in the World Cup. They got a lot of that going for them.
Yeah.
So for all that, as much as the on-ice product is fun and they still lose and that's nice, I continue to worry that they're putting something nice together here.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Here's something that's kind of fun, though.
Ooh, that sounds like a new bit called Here's Something That's Kind of Fun.
We got between Matthews, I mean, Matthews, Laine, McDavid, and Johnny Hockey in Calgary. Like, man, there's some really good, really fun, really young players north of the border these days.
You're not putting Alex Galchenyuk on that list?
He's not at that level.
No, he's not. You're right. I'm sorry. Who have the Canucks have?
The Canucks have sweet football.
They got the Sedin twins. No, there is. That is a... It's a fine list.
I mean, that is, yeah. This could be a fun decade for Canadian hockey teams after, what are we up to now, 23 years of irrelevance? Oof.
It's starting to push. I remember, I'm at the age now, I think, okay, it's probably an exaggeration, but we're getting to the point that I can almost remember mocking Leafs fans for not having won the Stanley Cup in the amount of time we're getting to now.
Getting there, yeah, I know.
That's okay. They'll win it this year. Carey will do it all by himself. It's fine.
I just meant not even the Habs. I just meant...
Canada in general? Yeah.
General, besides those Canucks teams, I know Calgary got there 1 year and Edmonton got there 1 year and Toronto had some decent teams and Ottawa got there 1 year. Montreal's been kind of competitive, but really there hasn't, you know, there hasn't been much.
That Vancouver team was big. That Vancouver team really seemed like it should have won. They didn't, obviously, in the end, but that was a powerhouse in the NHL for a few seasons there.
That's fair. Yeah, that's the closest we've come, but
Boston bullied their way past that one.
Yeah, they did. But I'd be shocked if one of those players I just mentioned doesn't lead their team to the Cup in the next 5 years.
Really? You'd be shocked?
Shocked. No.
If Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, or Calgary don't win the Cup in the next 5 years, you'll be shocked?
Five might be a tight timeline. But listen, if McDavid's who we think he is, which all evidence points in that direction.
Wait. Yeah, that's fair. Go ahead.
You know, 5 years, most of those franchise players are going to win their first Cup within the first 5 years.
Edmonton's the only one who I would give a reasonable shot at that.
That's fair.
Winnipeg's not going to do it. Winnipeg probably will never win a Cup. And I feel bad for them in that sense, but they probably won't. Because you need to build something really solid, but you also need to be able to attract free agents. And maybe you could say the same for Edmonton for that reason, too. But they have a history and a pedigree you might be able to, and McDavid. Wherever McDavid is, I don't think
Edmonton's going to have any problem getting free agents.
Oh, they got Milan Lucic.
Yeah.
Greatest prize of them all.
But seriously, I mean, players are going to want to play with McDavid.
Yeah, they're going to want to play with McDavid, and there is something to be said about that Oilers history and the Gretzky-Messier thing. Like, people, it's a shit city, you don't want to live there, but I can see talking yourself into going there to play with McDavid.
And there's a lot of players from there, too.
Yeah, also true.
And we know that hasn't worked out for Montreal or Toronto. I could see it working out for Edmonton.
Oh, yeah. Good Alberta boy. Stay home. Oh, yeah, yeah. Boy. Absolutely. Winnipeg, less so.
Yeah.
Winnipeg's going to need to do, like, a Carolina Hurricane-style win.
Yeah, I mean, they do have some really nice pieces. But
for sure.
They're a ways away.
I mean, I would love to see the Jets win a Stanley Cup. They remain my second favorite team. Love the Jets, but don't know that's going to happen.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Toronto, come on, they're not going to do it.
I guess I overstated the case, but still, there's some nice. It's fun to have, you know, the three best young players in the league are all on Canadian teams.
Will Pageau lift your Ottawa Senators to a cup anytime soon?
My Ottawa Senators, yeah.
I like calling them that. You're going to put the Leafs shit on me, I'm going to put the, you get the Senators.
Fair enough.
Who I hate more these days. Oh, every time I can't stand these guys.
They are wildly irritating.
Wildly irritating. That is the Ottawa Senators. Just shut up. Next
bit. You got Line A, you got Matthews, you got McDavid, you got Johnny Hockey, you got the best goalie in the world in Montreal, you got arguably the best defenseman in the world in Ottawa.
Yeah, probably. He'd be huge if he was on a different team.
I know. And then
you got
then
the Canucks. I don't think any team's in a worse position for their future in the entire NHL than Vancouver.
Because they've got, you know, the window's closed and they've got nothing to show for it.
Sorry, guys over on Pucks on Net. Amazing podcast. Everyone should listen to it. I enjoy it. But, man, that's a terrible situation to be in.
And I mean, listen, like you said, they were a powerhouse for a couple seasons. They won at least a President's Trophy, if not two.
I think they won like two or three. They loved the President's Trophy. I'm sure they're hanging those banners in Vancouver.
You know, they got as close to winning the Cup as you possibly can without winning it. Like, you can't really blame them in a sense. Because unless you're Detroit, you're kind of going to go through that drop-off. Like, you can't keep that window open forever. Yeah. So this was kind of inevitable, but man, they're stuck in no man's land right now because they're not going back to 2010, 2011. Like, the glory days are over.
And their main issue is they've got no vision. There's not a plan at all.
Yeah, they're still convinced. They're kind of doing what Calgary did for a couple years where they're still convinced they're competitive somehow, but they're really not. Best case, they finish eighth in the conference, and even that's a stretch.
I mean, we did that for a long time.
Yeah.
Just kind of hung around.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you just got this aging roster that's not going anywhere, and you're not committing to the rebuild, so you're picking 14th every year.
outside of David Pastrnak showing up for the Bruins, that team of the same year, they're kind of in the same phase. They just happened to get lucky and fucking Pastrnak came out of nowhere.
Yeah, a little bit.
Come on, the Bruins aren't a very good team if they don't have one guy scoring all their goals.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still more talent there than there is in Vancouver.
Mild. Yeah, no, okay, there is. They got a better goalie, for one thing.
They got a better goalie. They still got Bergeron.
If only the Canucks could have ever put their hands on one good goalie, you know? Unfortunately.
The most amazing part of it all is they had two franchise goalies. It was a controversy for 2 years. They somehow end up with neither of them and nothing in return.
It's the best. It's the best. And I only feel bad because I kind of like the Canucks. But, man, that's amazing. If that had happened to the Leafs, I'd talk about it weekly. It's almost as bad as the Bruins trading Sege. I hope they do the same with Pastrnak at this point.
That would be nice.
They might.
Or if he breaks a curfew or something, he might.
Well, I hope he breaks some curfews. Break your curfews, David. That's what Habs fan needs to... Okay, there's a lot of attractive women in Montreal.
Correct.
Ladies, hear us out here, because I'm sure there's swarms of attractive women listening to this podcast. This is the best place to get to them. Head down to Boston. Throw yourself at Pastrnak. Get him to stay out late a few nights. Maybe a little too late if they make the playoffs on a playoff game night. Get him out of there. You can do it, ladies. Help us out.
They have always said that, and I think there's a little bit of truth to this, that one's kind of ace in the hole that Montreal's always had is that, you know, teams like coming to Montreal a little bit too much for obvious reasons.
You think that still holds these days? I mean, I know it did in the 70s and maybe even into the 80s and whatnot. But do you think that still really holds?
I don't know. I mean, there must be some truth to it. Like,
I get excited to go to Montreal.
Yeah, a road trip to Montreal is probably...
And I lived there.
You know, it's probably more fun than a game in Jersey or Raleigh Durham or...
Well, I mean, come on, that's... He's shooting fish in a barrel. You think? All right, that's enough of this. We'll move on to the next bit. Got to keep our bits flowing. That's what they say. I don't know what that means. I kind of do. Wish I had
it.
Phrasing indeed. Best skater in the world. Let's get into that bit quickly. Is it Crosby or McDavid at the moment?
God. I don't know. This is really fun, actually.
This bit turned out much more interesting than I expected it to.
I also, Crosby has been really, really good lately. I think
Crosby's taking the lead again. Did you see his goal last week? Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's enough for me. That's enough. He's retaking the lead.
And I mean, for a guy who's always been, you know, he's always been more of an assist guy than a sniper. He's kind of a sniper this year, too.
Snipies. Like, yeah, definitely. I think he's trying to prove something.
That could be.
I feel like he's like, you know what, I can score too, Mofocus. I'm like, yeah, you can.
I love that, you know, Gretzky scored 92 goals one season, but we still think of him as a playmaker.
Because he was. He had 480 assists that season. May not be accurate, but pretty close. All right, so we're giving the edge to Crosby this week.
Yeah. Crosby had 51 goals one year?
Yeah. Wow. He can score.
Yeah, apparently.
He can get it in, as they say. I think that's what they're talking about when they say that. Speaking of getting it in.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I almost made a joke I don't even want to make. You know that's interesting because you've heard the bad jokes I've made on this podcast. Another bit the kids at home love. Vegas, baby. The future Vegas Golden Knight, Jaromir Jagr, moves into number 2 on the all-time points list.
Yeah.
What a guy. I know this is...
I mean, number 2 all-time.
Number 2 all-time.
Surpassed only by a guy who put up just... numbers that aren't even conceivable.
Like, we aren't the only ones talking about this week, obviously, but 28 years old. That's how old Gretzky was when he got the amount of points that 57-year-old Jaromir Jagr achieved.
Yeah, I know.
One of those ages is a lie. One of those is 100% accurate. Both of them sound equally unlikely. 28.
Yeah, and I, like, you know, I know he played in the 80s, but still.
So did everyone else in the 80s.
So did everyone else in the 80s. And it's, I mean, it's, I think you're, I mean, we're the same age, so I assume you're in the same boat that I am. As, you know, I remember Gretzky, and I was a hockey fan for sort of the tail end of his prime, yeah. But obviously I missed, like, peak Gretzky.
I would love to have seen a little peak Gretzky. It must have been just something.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when I was a kid, Miro Lemieux and was my favorite player and remains my favorite player to this day. And there was a time where I would argue until I was blue in the face that Mario was as good, if not better, than Gretzky.
It's stupid, but
oh man.
No, I argue it with you. It's fun to argue it. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it right? No.
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 It's tempting, and it's, you know, but you look at Gretzky's numbers, and they're the only athlete that's even comparable is Babe Ruth in terms of just outpacing the competition by just, again, magnitudes that are almost don't seem believable.
Completely different body types, though.
Correct.
It's kind of analytic. That's a little advanced stats for you. Should I bring to the table on this podcast? Here's a conversation to quickly get into from the Mario diversion, because I need to hear your thoughts on this. I don't know if you know about it, but you might be wrestling with it. I just learned last week through a story of how the Pittsburgh Penguins used to pay their players was Mario would – did you hear this?
No, but
okay. So Mario would dress up like Santa, or maybe just sit there like Santa, and Bergevin would be his elf. And each member would have to come through, sit on Mario's lap, and get handed their paycheck every 2 weeks.
They would have to?
I don't know about... Yeah, I think that seems to be what happened, is my understanding. I don't know the rules, per se. So what I want to throw at you here is... And so this story revealed that Marc Bergevin and Mario Lemieux are very, very close friends. How do you deal with that knowledge?
Ooh, that is...
Yeah. Like that best, like best friends forever. Like P.K. Subban and that chef.
The one thing Bergevin could do to get back in my good graces is to convince Mario to lace him up for the Habs.
Okay, well.
Which I continue to, yeah, which I know. Continues to be my all-time dream, even though he's 53 years old now.
Maybe that's a new bit we need to do. will Mario play for the Canadiens this season? Not far off from that, though. Jagr, he's going to be available.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Nah, Jagr's going to just get traded to the Golden Knights ahead of time. That's just going to happen there. He'll take off the rest of this season post-trade deadline because he's already for the Golden Knights.
He is slowing down.
A little bit. Scoring off his ass, though. That was pretty.
He really is the best, though. Like, man, I'm going to miss that guy.
All right, from that, the other... I think I call every bit now the one people are paying attention to. They're all just great. You love them all, everybody. The mid-podcast interview. It's a big one.
It is. Yeah, I know. Last one of 2016.
Oh, we're not doing another pod before the year's over? That's news to me.
Oh, we might. Second to last one of 2016.
Probably won't. We're pretty lazy. I forget where we are. Would you rather be the interviewee or the interviewer here?
I will go... I'll be the interviewee for a change.
We alternate every week. What do you mean for a change?
Yeah, I feel like you've done a few in a row. I feel like you're hogging the...
I don't think so.
Yeah, glory boy.
I don't think so. Do you want to fight about it?
A little bit.
Okay, so you're I'm interviewing you. This is what we're doing.
Correct.
Okay. Glad we get all this straightened out before we record. All right, get your towel on. Let's do this. All right, Christmas Eve. Coming into it... I know a lot of people talking about families, getting in with it, but here you are, Christmas Eve, willing to come out and do a pod with Zach. Talk to us a little bit about what that's like for you.
Well, you know, you do it because you love it, right? And I've loved it ever since I was a little kid, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, Christmas Eve or midnight in the middle of July. Like, you ask me to pod, I'm going to pod. I do it for the love of the game.
A lot of people talk about, you know, you go home, some of the family traditions. One of them, I think, you know, everybody just kind of puts on whatever, they roll outside, inside, head down to their mom's basement, do a little, just a little pickup podcasting with the family. Can you talk about the history of that with you?
You know, it's not about the money. It's not about the Wranglers. It's not about the women or the fame or the glory. You just do it because you love it.
Are there any podcasting traditions that you know that you and the family like to do every time this time of year?
No.
Thanks a lot. I'll see you out there. I like that. Just a flat no. That's good. No. You've been into podcasting since you were a kid, huh?
Well, clearly.
We were all talking about that before it existed. All right, another good mid-pod interview. Electric stuff, as always. I expect we'll get whatever the acting equivalent for podcasting of the Oscars is at some point knocking on our door very soon.
I would assume so.
Well, we're going long on this one. That's nice. A bit we introduced recently, you get one, where I give you a couple options. This week we're getting to the advanced stats. You get one of these advanced stats favorites who kind of suck at hockey, Lars Eller or Benoit Pouliot. Who you getting?
Ugh. Eller.
I agree. Lars the inconsistent.
He's better defensively and he takes fewer stupid penalties.
I'm more willing to hear an argument that Lars... Fewer. Not a ton fewer, but fewer. I'm more willing to hear the argument that Lars Eller is a valuable player than Benoit.
Yeah. I do think Lars Eller is a fantastic defensive player.
Yeah, me too. I think he's a great shutdown forward.
Yeah, I think he's a good third-line center. Just people keep waiting for that... Well, I was going to say 20-goal season. Like, let's hit 15 before we hit 20.
Let's hit 15 points. He's got 5 this year.
Yeah, he doesn't put up the points that you want out of him. And listen, if it hasn't happened yet, it's never going to happen.
No. And the thing always was, we don't use Lars Eller correctly. If he just got those first and second line minutes and put in that opportunity, he'd deliver those points. He'll get that in Washington. We're going to see it. He's the exact same player with the Capitals, maybe even less of a player with the Capitals this season than he ever was with Montreal. He is who he thought he was. Or he is who you thought he was. I probably always gave him a little more credit. I always thought that upside existed. This season, I'm starting to think, especially after watching that game against the Caps the other day, in which I didn't notice Lars Eller in that game.
No, he'll go stretches, like 2, 3, 4 week stretches where you don't notice him.
I was looking for him. Like, he's a former player, one who I kind of liked in Montreal, and I didn't notice him in that game.
Yeah. He's perfectly serviceable, but all the Lars Eller's truthers out there, it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Was that the fact that he was traded for Halak and the expectations were too high, or he just kind of came up short of what he should have been?
It's all those things, right? He was a first-round pick. We traded, you know, everyone thought Halak was Dominic Hasek 2.0 because he got hot for a month. So you trade him for Halak. They end up starting him 2 years before they should have.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to this day might have hurt his development and who he is as a player.
Could be it.
You know, they rushed him into the league, and he would show those flashes. He's big, he's skilled, but, you know, he's never going to be that 60-point guy we thought he was going to be.
Did the Blues have Tarasenko in their system at that point?
I don't think so.
Let's go with no. Let's hope not.
They had. I remember David Perron was the one they had who everyone wanted for obvious reasons.
It wasn't like Backes or somebody like that as well.
Yeah, Backes would have been nice.
Backes would have been nice. Can't win them all.
Or Shattenkirk or Petrangelo would have been nice, too.
Next bit. Markov Instagram. Once again, just one picture from Marky. Christmas is coming. Time to put on skates. That makes no sense, Markov. You wear skates every day. Which, once again, leads me to think Andre Markov is not putting his Instagram up there at all. It is his baby mama. 100%. That is. He's not in charge of it. Still playing well. Andre Markov still having himself a season.
Yeah.
His legs will fall off in the playoffs, though. You mark my words on that one.
Yeah.
Good job to the blue line, though, sustaining. I mean, Alexei Emelin out right now with the fact that his wife, girlfriend, I don't know if he's married, probably married, delivered a baby. So he got some time off for that, which I call bullshit on. Oh, my wife's having a baby on December 22nd. I'm going to take the full time off plus be with them over the holiday season. It's like 6 days off you got, Amelin. I'm not paying you for nothing, bud.
I know we're late on this, but did you have a problem with his hit?
No, I didn't have a problem. Well, I mean, here's what I said on the recency bias the day after. I was like, it's fine. It's legal. You can do it. I also was fine with Aginla reacting to it. The thing I wasn't fine with was Amelin hiding behind Price after doing it. Like, you can do that at that point in that kind of destruction, but you got to also face the music of what you did a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing is, Alexei Emelin's not smart enough to know he shouldn't do that in that scenario. He doesn't think. You watch him play. He's never that aware of the situation at hand.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened there. He does what he does. He doesn't know. He's not thinking, oh, it's 8-1 or whatever the hell it was. I shouldn't kill this guy. He's thinking, this is the only thing I'm capable of doing well. This is how I make my bread and butter. So I'm going to do it. And so, yeah, fine.
Yeah. And this is coming from a guy who's not a big fan of fighting at all. But it must be immensely frustrating to play against a player who is extremely physical and occasionally dirty. But anytime you want to fight, he's like, no, can't do it.
Can't. My face is fragile.
And I understand why, obviously. But that would be wildly frustrating.
They should have to do body shots fighting.
Yeah.
Emelin should have to get in. Maybe that's just, let's just do body shot fighting in the NHL. No more heads. Yeah. Let's just punch each other in the stomach. Or like we had a game in high school where we'd flick each other in the forehead real hard. Until someone couldn't take it. We could do that, too. I don't know if Emelin's face structure can handle that either. I'm not sure the ins and outs. But, yeah, either flicking or body shots. Those are my two things we can bring in the NHL. Just no more headshots.
That would probably be very wise for everyone.
All right. Put me in charge. We'll be doing body shot fighting. Might be fun to watch, too. Then we'll get a ruptured spleen and that goes out. Oh. Someone gets hurt and ruins it all every time. All right, we should be finishing this thing off. Before we get out of here, though, do you have a controversial opinion? I've got two, in case you didn't come loaded. You may be in the nice holiday mood already, not negative. I got plenty.
No, I got one, and I think it directly contradicts something I said 2 weeks ago, but that's
perfect.
Fine.
That's why we're here.
And I half believe this one. Is John Tortorella a good coach?
I'm starting to worry.
I know, we give the guy a lot of grief. And
right, but he's an asshole. There's no debate about that.
I know, he brings a lot of it upon himself. But, I mean, the man won a cup in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like a Randy Carlyle. Like he had a good run in Tampa. Goes to New York, has a good run there.
Yep.
And now he's got the Columbus Blue Jackets, probably the least talented team in the NHL, with 50 points right now.
Yeah. On a 12-game winning streak.
I know things didn't end well in New York. Vancouver obviously was a disaster.
But as we've talked about, that might just be a terrible team.
Team USA was a disaster, but they
chose a terrible team.
Yeah. I think he's got his flaws, but I also think he's got his strengths. I think he might be a better coach than we give him credit for.
Might be true.
Columbus with 50 points.
This is what Kyle and I talked about, so I won't put my opinion out there. But you can. I want to hear what you think. Are they a good team?
I mean, I still don't think so, but 50 points plus 45 goal differential? Like,
I think they're a good team.
They're playing really well. There's still nothing there, though.
There's not. That's the thing. We tried to name, like, three of their forwards and couldn't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Bobrovsky's good.
Bob's playing well. Real well on
Thursday. Very good. I mean, he's one of the five best goalies in the league. Seth Jones is a nice piece, but there's really not a ton there.
They're doing something right.
But, the season ended today. They'd win the President's Trophy.
Oh, but there's still several months of the season.
True.
That's my new bit. When anybody says that, I'm just going to act like I'm very confused and inform them how much season there is left. Yeah, he might be good.
Yeah.
And I had written him. I didn't think he'd get another job. And then Columbus hired him, and they were terrible. And then Team USA was terrible, and I thought Columbus was going to be terrible again this season, and he would be fired midway through, and that was the end of John Tortorella. Now, I don't know.
I mean, he's a runaway favorite for the Jack Adams right now.
Oh, he has to be. And you know what? Maybe he deserves it. The Jack Adams is usually like somebody get lucky. Maybe he's getting lucky, but maybe he isn't.
Even if he is, like, this team, if you asked me before the season who was going to be the worst team in the league, I think I would have said Columbus.
I'd probably agree there.
And they've got 50 points. They've got more points than the Blackhawks.
They look like the best team in the NHL right now.
Yeah, I know.
It's stupid.
Best goal differential in the league. Like, it's not, you know.
No, I know. And that's, I find that a very strong indicator of how good your team is. But maybe this is just because I'm stupid. If you ask me right now, which team am I expecting will have the biggest drop-off, I'd still say it's Columbus in the second half.
Yeah.
Them and the Flyers.
I kind of like this Flyers team, which is my other controversial opinion, because I usually hate Philly, but they're kind of a fun team to watch.
They are a fun team to watch. Lots of controversial opinions from you on hockey. I've got a non-hockey controversial opinion.
Oh.
Two of them. Two of them holiday-related, because this is our holiday special.
Okay.
Okay, first, I don't even know if this is controversial. Most Christmas music sucks, is what I've come to realize. Most of it is trash. And I think I angrily, maybe it was into the Nog the other night, texting this around to you. Stop with the third and fourth verses of your Christmas song. We're here for two maximum. One, probably. Any Christmas song, is, you know, especially if you're going to church or something and everybody's singing, the second verse is over, you're like, oh, the song's done. And a lot of them have third and fourth verses that we never know about because nobody wants to hear them, that they sneak in there. And they all drag on at that point. So that's number one, controversial opinion.
Yeah.
Number two, the movie Love Actually is terrible. It sucks. It's garbage. I'm confused by why you all put it on Christmas. There's very few Christmas movies I'd rather not watch, if that makes sense, than Love Actually. Just going to leave me on that one?
I mean, don't make me say it.
You can say it.
I don't hate it.
Fuck. You're an idiot. You really don't hate it? How do you not hate that movie?
I mean, for what it is, yeah, I don't.
That makes no sense to me. I don't understand you on that one. Very upset. If anyone was on my side with this, it'd be you.
I know.
You son of a bitch.
I know.
It sucks. Love actually sucks. It's terrible.
I really want to agree with you, but
I know you do. I know you do. I appreciate that, at least. Ugh. It's no. 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 That's all I'm saying about Love Actually. At least in my household, it's not a thing, so I'm happy with that.
That's fair.
Spend my evenings watching A Muppet Family Christmas. That's a classic.
Ooh, that is a classic.
What's your favorite?
Can I say Die Hard, or is that...
I know. We'll debate it like on Mike and Mike. Oh, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? Yeah, Die Hard is. Okay. Let's move. Die Hard's controversial. We'll avoid that in this piece called Controversial Opinions.
If I can't. Yeah, that's kind of a douchey answer, anyways.
It is.
I mean, my other favorite's Bad Santa, but that's also.
I'd say classics.
Yeah, amongst the classics, National Lampoon's.
All right. That adds up to me. I've only cooked one turkey in my life, but I've never been around a turkey being cooked without my fear being that what happens to their turkey. I'm always like, this is going to happen. You're going to crack it open. That turkey looks so vile in that movie. Like, you almost smell it. It's so gross looking.
Yeah, good special effects.
I love the cat dying over and over. Good movie.
Yeah.
I'll take that one. All right, and finally, because it's the holidays and because we like to finish every program with a positive jam, it's time to get into the positive space as we get out of here. What do you got for the good people on the plus side? Wait, let me get...
I'll circle back to an earlier statement, but... well, too earlier. Whoa, what's going on?
Getting positive.
Jeff Petrie is... a fantastic defenseman that the Habs got for nothing. Mm-hmm. Who's got, what, 4 goals in his last 5 games?
Yep.
And Paul Byron was a waiver pickup?
Waiver.
Like, oof.
Oof, indeed.
Those are two really nice pieces that you got for nothing.
That was, I believe that was Mario Lemieux's elf, Mark Bergevin, who got those guys.
Yeah.
Good job. Just saying yep there was as positive as we're going to get you right now. I'm going to take it. Mine goes against the controversial that I was going down the road. I'm not going to say anything good about Love Actually. Still sucks. Don't bother watching it if you've never seen it. But with all the bad Christmas music out there, at the very least, there's nothing wrong with putting Fairy Tale of New York on just repeat and listening to no other Christmas songs besides that one, and you'll still be fine. That song is amazing. It's the only thing that gets me looking forward to hearing Christmas music is the fact that for 3 weeks of the year, I get to put that song on and enjoy it. And it's weird because it's one of the few songs ever that I really like and love, but can't just put on at any time when I want to hear it. I've got to wait till seasonally it's appropriate. And it's the one thing that I really musically at Christmas look forward to is getting that one. And I'm going to go listen to it as the show ends once again while I sip some nog. Because that song's amazing.
No arguments here.
Well, you better not. That's I will fight anyone who's got a problem with Fairy Tale of New York. All right, that's it. That's I don't know if it's the end of our Montreal biases for 2016, but it is until at least for the
we'll try and squeeze one in, but we can't make any promises.
We never do. That's what's great about us. All right. Merry Christmas, Sean.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Happy holidays.
So appropriate. And Merry Christmas to all you listening. Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy all the things. Enjoy your break. Drink a lot. We'll see you on the other side, whether that's next week or a couple weeks down the road. Thanks for listening. Please offer this podcast subscription as a gift over the holidays to your family and friends if you'd like. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. You can follow me at Zach Drops Tweets. You can follow him at The O'Neill Factor. Please follow at The Montreal Bias on Twitter and at Rabbit Habs, who brings you this podcast, as well as The Recency Bias. Thanks so much for listening. It's been a weird year in Habsland, but things are looking positive for the moment. They're a good team. We'll see what the playoffs have in store for us. 2016 was a very weird year. It involved us losing PK Subban and the Price injury and everything else. But things are good at the moment. We'll take that for what it is. Enjoy your holidays. And enjoy the juniors. Always a nice holiday tradition. Parting words?
Can't do better than that.
It was Christmas Eve, babe. In the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on the lucky one, came in late into one. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true. You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more.
Sinatra was swinging, all the drums they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing Galway Bay. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
And they're almost dead on a trip in that bed.
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheat.
in someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD chorus are singing "Go Away, Babe,"
and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.